Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to our youth Sunday night. It is great to have everyone here. We're happy we're here. I'm grateful for Caleb and Hunter doing our scripture reading and our song leading. They did both did a great job so far. I'll jump right in here, explain what's on the board, what you're seeing right now, and what the titles are going to mean tonight. So not really one central title for this lesson, but two, what we must not love and what we must love. Could be two lessons. I've just put them together for past lessons I've taught have not been very long, so we're going to see if I can make this one a little longer than the past. But obviously there's a longer list on the stuff that we must love, so there's going to be more emphasis on that tonight. Why I chose this lesson? The past week and the next coming weeks, I've noticed a few things. There's going to be some things that I'm not really loving. Like this past week, I've had band camp all week. Had to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning. And compared to the rest of summer where I've not had to do that, I'm not really loving it. Also, about a week and a half, all the kids are going to know if school's starting back. And I'm pretty sure they're probably not loving that fact either. So the difference between these facts and these are... those you don't really have to love or not love, but these we must love, as in the titles, must not love or must love. So there's going to be a lot of scripture reading tonight, so if you are one that likes to follow along in the Bibles, have them out, be ready. I'll get right into it. First of all, on the must not love list is sleep. If we do turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13, it tells us there, "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread." So it's we're not really talking about that we must never sleep. We're not talking about the Sunday afternoon nap that my mom and grandmother love every week. I'm not saying that you never can sleep. This is more talking about laziness here. The wise man's telling us here in Proverbs not to never sleep. He's telling us that one that spends all of his time sleeping will come to poverty, just as one that would not get a job in the world today and that would spend all their time sleeping would come to poverty, because you're not making a living for yourself. If we go and we turn to Romans chapter 13 and 11, it's telling us the same thing here, that you cannot sleep all the time, that laziness is a very bad thing. We can apply this in two ways, not just in the world physically today, but also in your spiritual lives. If you're sleeping, as in you're not being on fire for the Lord, and maybe you're coming to church, you're just going through the motions, you're just taking the Lord's Supper, it's not really meaning anything for you, you're asleep in the Lord. We have to be on fire for the Lord, and we cannot be asleep. Next on the list of things that we must not love is no false oath. If we go to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 17, it says here, "Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, says the Lord." Even if we go down to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 4 through 5, it even calls those who like a false oath fools. We must always be true to our word. Small lies relating to that turn into bigger ones, as we all know, and that's where it becomes really dangerous. That's why it becomes on this list of things that we must not love. Very important point there. Number three on the list next is the praise of men. If we go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, let's see here. It talks about in the end of verse 5 there, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." I'll go ahead and read some more here. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So here it's talking about these hypocrites going into the synagogue. They're wanting the praise of men other than wanting to confess the Lord. They're wanting to show off. They're wanting to brag. That's not something that we can do today. That's going to cost us our eternal life. That's going to be very dangerous for us in our spiritual lives. That's why it's on this list of things that we must not love. If we go to John chapter 12, in verses 42 and 43, it says here, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," speaking of Jesus here, "but because the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." So, talking about the Pharisees here, did not want to confess Jesus because they were afraid they were going to be put out of the synagogues. They wanted the praise of men here in John chapter 12. It goes on to say, "Then Jesus cries out, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Very important in here in verse 48. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." As we all know, we're going to be judged in the last day, the judgment day. And it's saying here, these Pharisees that did not accept him, that did not confess him, they're going to be judged in the last day also, and it's not going to be well for them. That's the next one on the list. The next is money. If we do go to 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, clearly states that there, that we might all know this verse, but it clearly states that money is the root of all evil. And it in fact is, not necessarily money itself, but what you can do with the money, what you can buy, and actions that come from the things that you might be able to buy with money. That's what makes it dangerous, not just the fact that it is money. That's what puts it on the list of things that we must not love. Next, we're going to be going into the world, next one on the list. If we do turn to the verse that I had Hunter read to us tonight, very important verse, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. I just had him read 15, but it goes through 17, is what I'll be looking at right now. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." The world can collectively, we can collectively put all these points of the things that we must not love into actions of the world. And it is important for us not to love these, because if we're loving these things that we must not love, it's taking away from this other list that we haven't got to yet, of the things that we should be loving. That's what makes this list very dangerous. So, moving on, we will be going to the other side of this lesson, being the things that we must love. And first of all, is God. And some of these points may seem very obvious at first, like we all know we're supposed to love God and Jesus Christ, but we're going to be going into further depth on these, and I'm giving you all the scripture for where it says all these things. So Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 is my first proof for this point. It says here, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Here it says plainly that we must love God, and loving him includes these things that it says here, walking in all of his ways and fearing him. Even if we go to Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, it says this, almost the exact same words there, that we should love the Lord your God and that we should walk in all of his ways. Again, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, which is the more famous verse of this point. So very important there that almost all these other points below the one that says God are going to tie in more to this very point. So going on to the next one, God's law. If we turn to Psalm chapter 119, there's many verses just talking about God's law here. More specifically, maybe verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." There's another verse 113 that says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I do love." It's just mentioned many times here in chapter 119 of Psalm that you should love God's law. Again, we go over to verse 163, "I hate abhor lying, but the law I do love." If this was not that most important of a point, why would there be this whole, like, I'm looking two pages here and it's all about God's law? It wouldn't all be in here if it was not important. We go to the other side of this point, at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're living under the law of Christ today, and it says this right here that we should be fulfilling the law of Christ in Galatians 6, 2. But one thing that we have to remember when living by this law, that it doesn't just include the works of the law. We have to remember the other side of it, which is faith. And many of us know the important saying, faith without works is dead. So Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law." It continues to go on and say that through verse 17. But today we live under the law of Christ, and it says this right here in verse 16, chapter 2, and in Galatians 6, 2. Going on to the next point, we must love our enemies. And this is probably one of the more harder things to do on this list, and something that's taught from a very early age. I know my parents taught it to me. I'm sure many others have, that you're supposed to love your enemies. We turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Clearly states it in a very famous verse here. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despite you, fully use you and persecute you." Again, this says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 20 through 21. I won't read that. And right here in Matthew, this is Jesus Christ saying this. If you have a red letter edition, it's going to show that. Very important, because Jesus Christ even saying this himself right here. The best thing to do with an enemy is to love him and make a friend of him, or make a neighbor of him, which leads to the next point, love thy neighbor as thyself. Very good example of this. Remember Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. I won't read all of that, but I'll read verses 25 through 28. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he said, answering, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But then he goes on to say, who is thy neighbor? And that's when Jesus explains the story of the Good Samaritan and helps him to understand it. But we hear this again in Romans chapters 13 and 15, and in Ephesians and in James. So many examples here that tells us to love thy neighbor as thyself. So it has to be very important. Jesus talks about it here. Tells a whole parable, story about it. And it's said in all of these verses. So it's very important. We must love thy neighbor as thyself. Next point, we must love one another. We go to John chapters 13 and verses 34 through 35. It tells us here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. We have a song. I don't know if we've ever sung it here. I know we did at camp. I have at other churches at Summer Youth Series called The Greatest Command. It says, love one another as love is of God. He loves is born of God and knows God. I had to remember. I haven't sang it in a long time. But coming straight out of the Bible there, verses, and it gets his name, Matthew chapter 22, The Greatest Command. So that's a great song, and that's where I remember this to get this point from. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and Galatians 5 says the same thing here, that we have to love one another. Next point, the withdrawn when they repent. This is not one that I would have thought to put on this list until I started doing this sermon and found this to be true. If I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, says, I'll read verses 5 through 8, which is the more relevant to this point. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Therefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Talking about, and part of the invitation we extend every time we meet is extended towards those who might have strayed away, that need to come back, that need to come back to the church and be forgiven. That's what Paul's talking about here, that sometimes we have a bad attitude towards people maybe returning from their sins, and that Paul talks here and says that we cannot have that kind of attitude. We have to be very accepting. We have to love and comfort them whenever they come back. There always has to be a sense of cautionary if this keeps happening. But this is the attitude that Paul tells us to have for these people, and that we must love these people that that are withdrawn when they repent. So, next point, we must love husbands, wives, children. Ephesians chapter 5 in verses 25 through 33 say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. A little bit of what David talked about this morning with the relationship between Christ and the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself to a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's 25 through 28. It says around the same thing here in Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Very important point. David talked about it this morning. It must be, these relationships between wives, husbands, children have to be as strong as the relationship God has, Jesus Christ has with his church and with the church throughout the world. My last point here, his appearing, and it's talking about the second coming of Christ. If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it says here, if I can find it, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. This is Paul talking, and he's saying here that those who love his appearing, that love Jesus Christ, are also going to get that crown of righteousness. So that's an important part of being a follower of serving the Lord, and that those who are not loving his appearing, they're going to be judged also. They might not get this crown of righteousness. So another important point that all of these, that his appearing, husbands, wives, children's, the withdrawn when they repent, one another, neighbors, thyself, our enemies, and God's all tie into God somehow here. But in conclusion, are we loving these things as a church today, or just as individuals? Because this is very essential to your relationship with God and your relationship with just society and the community, that we should be loving our enemies and loving our neighbor as thyself. If we're not doing these things, our relationship with God is going to be failing, and we cannot have that if you're wanting eternal life. So if you're here tonight and you're not loving these things, you might be loving these things on the left side of the list. It's taking away from your love on the right side. So if this is your case and you need to respond tonight, we do ask you to come tonight as we do stand and as we sing.